Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of Christ, our apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, and I'm Elijah Christ, our in the Elgin, Texas. Today is February 22, 2024, or it is 25th day of Adar, 2028. We will start our second service on the Sabbath day with 12 symbolic code number 4, written in 1946 by B.T. Hollis. We're going to have a title for it, entitled, What Brings Success? What Brings Success? What Brings Success? After this sermon was actually preached in 1944, James 4:2, and it's like 3. You fast and have not. You kill and desire to have and shall not obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. There is a class of people who do everything they can in order to enrich themselves in material wealth, perhaps even for a good cause. Yet they are poor because they attempt to acquire it in their own wisdom and strength, and do not ask Yahweh either for the riches or the help to obtain them, because this class did not ask, they received not. There is also another class who asked, that they ask amiss, wanting only to consume it upon themselves, and therefore they too receive nothing. These are but two reasons why even some of Yahweh's own people are poor. James here deals only with these two reasons. But after that, all the Bible writers give But other Bible writers give addition specific reasons, such as poor management, indolence, providential reverses, and so on. By the inspired testimony, we have learned that Abraham and Lot both became so rich that they had to dissolve partnership and occupy separate portions of the land. Abraham suggested that Lot should choose first the land he wanted. And Abraham suggested that, and Abraham would take what was left. Lot chose all the plain and left the hills for Abraham. Perhaps from a business standpoint, Lot's choice was good, but from Yahweh's viewpoint, it was poor. In making his selection, Lot failed to see or take into account the fact that he had been greatly blessed by his having been in the partnership with his uncle Abraham. He thought only of his personal, selfish future security. Abraham nevertheless raised no objection to Lot's choice. he gladly took the hills. In the process of the time, Lot moved into the city, but he became poor and poor. At last, the angel of Yahweh had to rescue him, and he came out with nothing. In striking contrast to Lot's devastating expense, Abraham steadily became richer and richer, and Yahweh finally gave him all the land. What was the secret of Abraham's success? Yahweh himself made Abraham prosper. When he saw Abraham faithful in everything, when we are faithful in everything, he will more abundantly bless us also. When the Joseph started out, he too was very poor. He was sold by his own brothers, and later sold again as a slave. As he possessed at that time were his soul and the clothes on his body. All he possessed at that time were the soul and the clothes on his body. But eventually, he became the world's richest man. He had, he held the key to all the riches in Egypt, because whatever he did, he put real religion into it. Even Pharaoh recognized his outstanding worth and availed himself of it by the appointing Joseph to run his government. For the troubles which came to Joseph in his life were actually for his good, and prepared him to become an interpreter of the dreams, a king, and doubtless the greatest economist the world has ever seen. Yahweh had observed that Joseph did everything as if it were his very own, and moreover, he was constantly sensible to the fact that Yahweh was his master, and that nothing could be hidden from him. It was this conviction that taught Joseph to understand that regardless what men did to him or said about him, Yahweh alone had charge of his life. Therefore, in the prosperity and fame, Joseph maintained his loyalty and integrity, and in adversity, Joseph did not waste his time ascribing to others the cause of his troubles. Instead, he set about to behave in a way that would commend himself even to royalty, for it is not likely that the Ishmaelites would have been able to sell him to Potiphar had he not been a superior person. And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Yahweh was with him, and that the Yahweh made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Genesis 39:2-4-6. But again, it was his lot to suffer reversals over which he had no control, and he landed in prison, where his excellent personality and faithfulness once again want him his freedom, and moreover, he was promoted to the highest position of the land. In the meantime, Joseph's brothers kept coming down until finally they were reduced to such poverty that they had to leave their country and come to Joseph for their food and living. We should be able to see in this that although Yahweh's people may be disgracefully dealt with by the zealous associates, still they will not suffer the wrong forever if Yahweh is with them. Joseph followed righteousness, and no man could prevent Yahweh from blessing him with riches and honor. It matters not what men may say or do against you to put you down. If you have Yahweh with you, you will in the end be on top and they at the bottom. Jealousy may be as cruel as the grave, but sooner or later, righteousness is rewarded. How important it is that Yahweh's people have their minds constantly employed in serving Him perfectly in everything. We can indeed make ourselves the poorest of the poor by concerning ourselves wholly with our own needs and wants instead of working toward the goal of producing all we can for the benefit of others. Doing for others and what brings success and alone makes one in demand. Job, you remember, was a very rich man. Because he was perhaps Yahweh's best friend on earth at that time. At least the devil grew jealous of him and told Yahweh that Job was not as good a man as Yahweh thought. And he could prove it if he were allowed to bring enough trouble and hardship to him. And you remember that Yahshua allowed the devil to do anything he wanted to Job, except take his life. And the midst of the fires of his many and grievous afflictions, Job declared, though he may very slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 13:15. Because Job did not fail, he in the end was many times richer than he was in the beginning. Yahweh's people do not become rich in any respect by playing the fool, nor does it help for them to give themselves over to self-pity and the day of adversity. When a person feels sorry for himself, he has at least brought himself to a state of stalemate, if not outright defeat. None of the men of Yahweh, regardless how severe were the hardships they were called upon to bear, felt that these sacrifices were too great. Generally speaking, all these men possessed a stabilizing power that is hard to explain, other than to say that it is a gift of Yahweh, which he bestows upon those who are ultimately and firmly acquainted and united unto him. For the Solomon too saw his great personal need, not for his own personal benefit, however, but for the ultimate benefit of his people. And he longed for the fulfillment of his need for their sake. That is why he asked Yahweh for the right thing wisdom. And Yahweh gave him everything, including wisdom. Or including salvation, wisdom. For the David was anointed king over Israel because Yahweh had seen him while he was a shepherd boy, faithfully doing all he could to take the very best care of his father's sheep. Yahweh knew that if David would give even his life for sheep, he would be the right one to rule the kingdom. For the only lasting fortune man can obtain is gotten through righteousness, through Yahweh's way, and in his time. The successful life is not that one which gained riches and acquired fame for this life and nothing for the future life. The successful man, on the contrary, ensures this eternal riches by daily making straight paths for his feet to walk in, thus ensuring also his present life success. Yahweh controls the distribution of riches, and he does not give them to his people as a blessing if they are selfish. If such people obtain wealth, it is invariably a curse unto them. Now let us study Jacob's life for a few minutes this afternoon. You remember that he was the son of Isaac, whom Yahweh had greatly blessed. And when he grew old, Jacob coveted the birthright, which according to custom was to be Esau's, and designed that Jacob was not seeking to become rich. He was after the spiritual blessing that it would bring, and which Esau did not esteem highly, until in one way or another Jacob had successfully gotten it for himself. If a man wants spiritual blessing bad enough for the right purpose, Yahweh will give them to him. After Jacob obtained the birthright, he had to leave home and build his life with practically nothing at his uncle Laban's. There Jacob agreed to work for Laban 7 years for his daughter Rachel, whom he wanted to marry. During these 7 years, Jacob had practically taken the business under his control, and Yahweh had greatly blessed his efforts, and through it Laban also was blessed. But Laban deceived him at the end of the 7 years, and gave him the wrong girl. Jacob again agreed to work another 7 years for Rachel. During this time, Jacob's work was of the same high quality as it has been before. Even though he has been treated wrongly by his uncle. Since Yahweh's people in this age are to endure the time of Jacob's trouble and receive the blessing which was promised to his posterity in the latter days, it would be time well spent for us to give further attention to the details as they are recorded in the Bible, which describe the faithfulness with which Jacob, our type, discharged his daily responsibility. And compare ourselves with him to see if we are as diligent and careful and trustworthy as he was. Let us read first Genesis 30, 25-43. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place, unto my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Yahweh hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Yahweh hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. Thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted, and the speckled among the goats, and as such shall be my heart, so shall my righteousness answer for me in the time to come, when it shall come from my heart before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Now Laban said, behold, I would it might be according unto thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ranged straight and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he sat 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled or white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods, and he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks and the gutters, and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whatsoever the strength, the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rod before the eyes of the cattle in the gutter, that they might conceive among the rod. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maid servants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. When Jacob's 14 years' service to obtain his two wives were over, he wanted to move his family and possessions back to his own country, whence he came. But Laban knew that he had prospered by having Jacob with him, and for this reason he did not want him to leave. Had Jacob not been enterprising and faithfully producing more than he consumed, you know that Laban would not have wanted Jacob to stay even as long as he did. For the thing that makes anyone valuable in the world is his ability to see and fill a need that exists in the world. Valuable man does not gain his reputation by the measuring of the good he will do, by what he expects to receive in return. He is a valuable man, I repeat, because he saw and filled a need that existed in the world. Genesis 30:27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Yahweh hath blessed me for thy sake. This is a kind of recommendation that the Christian should cause to be said of his religion by those for whom he works. Such a recommendation comes only by the putting of the practical religion and thought into your everyday living and working habits, and by producing more than you consume. The real Christian will never say what I heard a man say one time. He told me that where he was working, he was getting only a certain amount per hour, which he stipulated in a tone of dissatisfaction. Then he quickly added that is all the value and work he would give them also. That is not the way to commend your religion to anyone for whom you intend to continue working, but it is the way to get yourself out of the door sooner or later. Let us read again of Genesis 30:31-34. And he, Laban, said, what shall I give thee, Jacob? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock, I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and as such shall be my heart, so shall my righteousness answer for me in the time to come, when it shall come from my hire before thy face every one that does not speckle and spot among the goats and brown among the sheep that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according unto thy word. And at the dawn up of the new labor contract, Jacob said he did not want Laban to give him anything. He wanted to work for Laban on a purely production basis, and what Yahweh would give him. Laban listened to Jacob's proposal and agreed to it because he expected the spotted lambs to be fewer than the others. Jacob, on the other hand, proposed this kind of contract because he knew that Yahweh was with him and would bless him. He seemed to know also that there is a natural law that we are blessed only when we put forth exertion and thought. For it took both on Laban's part to prepare the rods and to separate the feeble from the strong cattle when they came to drink. And Yahweh did greatly bless them. Genesis 31:1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Laban's son said, Jacob became rich because of Laban, but it was Yahweh who made him rich because of his faithfulness and effort. Genesis 31:2-4. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And Yahweh said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. Though Jacob was rich, he was still on the job. Genesis 31:5-6. And said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the Yahweh of my father hath been with me, and you know that with all my power I have served your father. He served Laban with all his power, and he acknowledged that Yahweh had blessed him. Genesis 31:7-9. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But Yahweh suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, and all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the rain streak shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle rain streak. Thus Yahweh hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Both of the men charged each other with deceit. In his account to his wife, Jacob recalled that Laban had changed his wages repeatedly, and furthermore, he pointed out that he could not help it that the cattle came rain-streaked and speckled. He had simply put forth his best efforts, and Yahweh had blessed him. Genesis 31:10-12. And it came to pass at the time that the child conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leap upon the cattle were ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of the Yahweh spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob? And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Yahweh revealed to Jacob that he himself was responsible for Jacob's good fortune. Had Jacob not been faithful, however, do you think Yahweh would have blessed him? Yahweh blesses us only when we keep busy at our given work, whatever it may be. Moreover, just as Yahweh saw all the evil that Laban did toward Jacob and did not suffer him to hurt Jacob, so also whatever anything attempts to do against his faithful people today, it will fail to accomplish the intended purpose to injure them. For Yahweh will turn it around at last to glorify himself and to bless his people. And when Yahweh wants to bless someone, no one, not even the devil, can keep him from doing it. Genesis 31:14-16. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured all our money. For all the riches which Yahweh has taken from our father, that is ours, and our children. Now then, whatsoever Yahweh has said unto thee, do. Laban's daughters, too, recognized the fact that their father was selfish and a grafter. They were therefore willing to cooperate with Jacob and whatever Yahweh had told him to do. Genesis 31:17-22. Then Jacob rose up and said, his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his game which he had gotten and passed around, for to go to Isaac his father and the land of Canaan. And Laban went to share his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the sin in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face towards the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. The fact that Laban was unaware of Jacob's absence until someone informed him of it 3 days after he left shows that Jacob had taken care of Laban's work so well that Laban did not have to go every day to check up on Jacob's work. Genesis 31:23-27. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And Yahweh came to Laban, the seer in a dream, by the night, and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then later, overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Jacob, "What hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to thee, and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly, and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with myrrh, and with songs, with tabrets, and with harps?" Laban pretended in this, for were he not lying, Yahweh would not have had to appear to Laban in a dream to warn him to leave Jacob alone. Genesis 31:28-29. "And hast not suffered me to kiss my son and my daughter? Thou hast not done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, that the Yahweh of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." So what could Laban do? Genesis 31:30-36. "And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou so longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, Peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. But whensoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live before our brethren. Discern thou what is thine with him, and take it to thee, for Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them." And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, that he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture, and sat upon them. Then Laban searched all the tent, and found them not. And she said unto her father, "Let it not this be my Yahweh, or my Lord, but I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of the women is upon them." And he searched, but found not the energy. And Jacob was wroth, and showed it to Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin, that thou hast so hotly pursued after me?" Jacob knew that Laban was not saying and doing all these things for nothing. And he demanded that Laban explain his reason for his behavior. Jacob continues speaking in Genesis 31:37-42. "Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Sit it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of the beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it of my hand. This thou require, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the drought of Sermon and the frost by the night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the Yahweh of my father, the Yahweh of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac has been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. Yahweh has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. Jacob had kept the cattle in the best possible way so that there was no loss of labor. Jacob himself had suffered the loss of those which happened to be stolen. He had watched and worked diligently both day and night, tending well to his business, and that is the real reason that Laban was after Jacob now. He knew that Jacob was a valuable worker and that he needed him. We too must be diligent and faithful, as was Jacob, if we are to enter the kingdom. For the men that are wanted in Yahweh's cause are men who are dependable in whatever Yahweh gives them to do. Genesis 31:43. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine, and what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne? Poor Laban, everything was his, yet there was nothing he could do to possess him. Genesis 31:44-52. Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillow. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made an heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Shah Adutha, as Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed, and Mizpah, for he said, the Yahweh watches between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take otherwise beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, Yahweh is witness between thee. And Laban said unto Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Laban finally became convinced that he could do nothing, and being fearful of Jacob, he proposed that they enter into a covenant together for peace. Genesis 31:53-55. The Yahweh of Abraham and the Yahweh of Nahor, the Yahweh of their father, changed the trickster, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac, and Jacob offered sacrifices upon the mount, and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread, and carried all night in the mount, and early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his son and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. Laban had gone after Jacob with the intention of cursing him, but he was obliged to bless him instead. Now we as Christians must be joined to the Yahweh, even as Jacob was, and be diligent in the pursuit of that which Yahweh has given each of us to do, if we would be blessed as he was. Diligent and faithfulness characterized all the great men of the world, and it is the only way to gain lasting blessing, that be in favor with both Yahweh and man. For says a wise man, a faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty will come upon him. Proverbs 28:20-22. May each of us as children of Yahweh be aware that he sees all that we do and reads all our thoughts. May our constant motive be that of the serving him and not ourselves. May we live to bless others, not just to seek the means by which we only may exist. May we realize that no man can put us down if Yahweh wants us up. And finally, may we realize that it is Yahweh from whom all blessings flow. Thus may we prepare ourselves for the day when Yahweh shall separate the saints and the hypocrites and give each his rightful reward. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.